Blog Talk Radio. I'm Cynthia Johnson. I'm here this morning with Dr. Reginald Johnson and also our co-host, Gloria Wells, who's monitoring our chat room. And we are in the book study of spiritual partnership. We're discovering that we are multi-sensory beings. You know, in our last book study, we recognize that we were multidimensional, and now we're talking about being multisensory beings and how that's impacting the way we move and have our being here on planet Earth, and more importantly, how it impacts our relationships. Gary Zukav is talking about moving into our authentic power when we grab hold of the concept of working with, of being aware of our multisensory self. It expands our awareness. And the rules of the game, or the rules of engagement in life, are changing. And of course, we discovered that in oneness. So we're going to pick up this morning. We kind of briefly touched on things during Oracle Friday of chapter 5, which is the cave, which of course begins on page 45. We're going to pick up with that discussion this morning. I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie to take us into our morning prayer, and then I have a couple of announcements, and we'll move into our study.
Heavenly Father and Mother God and Goddess, the equalizer of everything on this planet and the creator of all, thank you for giving us the ability to have multisensory capability, that we think beyond who we are, and we see beyond who we are, and we feel beyond who we are, and we know beyond who we are. We are in you, and you are in us, giving us these incredible abilities that we take for granted every day. We sense things beyond this experience. And those people who are intuitive and who are sensitive, they know they've always used their multisensory detective energy inside of their body to navigate in this experience. We thank you for that energy and for their energy too, letting us learn to grow in that space, giving us the intention to do good for the quality of Earth and life. Let it continue to be in energy of love, wisdom, light, evolvement, ascension, and power, and divine wisdom, and above all, in love. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. Wow, Dr. Reggie, thank you so much. You know, this morning I was meditating, and I was listening to Abraham from Jerry and Esther Hicks. And she brought to remembrance this thought, and I'm going to share it with you because, oh God, what is it, baby?
I was thinking out loud.
And Dr. Reggie is so right. Oh God, yes, exactly. That is the energy. That she said, you are source energy. Source energy is flowing through you, flowing to you and through you. And I just wanted to remind you of that, Now, when we say source energy, we're actually referring to what some will call God. And so just stop and think on that and contemplate on that today. I know it really touched my heart to bring it into remembrance, that that energy, that which we call God, that which is the source of all life, is flowing to me and through me. And that's a powerful thought. So, here are the announcements today. Wednesday, you get to sleep in, because on Wednesday, we're going to broadcast at 7 p.m. in the evening Eastern Standard Time. So that's going to be 6 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Mountain, and 4 p.m. Pacific Time. This is our monthly group energy infusion and healing circle. If you know of anyone who needs a healing, and that's in all areas of your life, financial healing, physical healing in terms of your health, relationships healing in terms of your relationships, if you have a legal issue that you're facing and you need to clear that out, if you're in conflict with someone, you need to clear that out, you want to be on this call Wednesday evening. Our facilitator is Bill Bowers. Many of you have met with, have had sessions, private sessions with him now since you've been exposed to him. He is a powerful mystic. He uses dowsing, which is looking for vibrations, energetic vibrations, and he works with you and shifts that energy. I want to hear from everyone who had any experiences during the past 30 days, any shifts in your energy during the past 30 days. So please join us. You all know the call-in number, 914-338-0590. You can go on Blog Talk Radio at Circles of Prosperity. You'll see it as a featured segment for our energy healing and energy infusion and healing circle. Just click on, if you follow circle, click on the follow button, follow us button, and then click on the little clock. It will give you a reminder for this show. So you want to go ahead and do that. Listen, last month we had close to 200 people on that call. So they were either listening online or they had dialed in. It gets very, very full. So I encourage you to log in early. If you want to speak with Bill Bowers, we're going to do it a little differently, because the first time was an introduction and we used people that had already gone through sessions, but you will get to speak with him. We're going to try to service as many people as possible so that he can deal with you. He takes his time, so this is a two-hour show, so block out 2 hours. Because we will definitely use all of the time. So I wanted to just make that announcement. The other thing is that Dr. Reggie and I will be on vacation starting Friday. Reginald Lewis will be here Friday to do our Oracle Friday. You know, I know you guys love Reginald Lewis. He's a wonderful, wonderful intuitive and spiritual counselor. So he will be hosting our show and answering all of your questions and walking you through any challenges that you may be experiencing in life. I don't like to say that the psychic. I don't like using that word, because these people, the people that we bring to you, like Dr. Reggie and Bill Bowers and Reginald Lewis, they are beyond psychics. These are spiritual counselors and coaches. And they want to empower you. It's a big difference. They open your eyes to the possibilities that you have in your life, and they stand in faith with you that you can move and achieve whatever it is that you want to have in your life. So they are powerful teachers and counselors. Okay. So the following week we'll be on vacation. We'll probably be running some of our greatest hits, so you can still tune in at 7, but you can listen online or you can call in, but these will be reruns, okay? And I'll try to have someone available to you on that Friday for Oracle Friday, because everybody loves Oracle Friday, maybe Reginald Lewis or someone else, but we'll definitely have another spiritual counselor and teacher on Oracle Friday for you to call in live. All right, let's get started this morning. We touched upon the cave. Remember last week we were talking about how he gave the example where Plato had talked about these people who were in a cave and they were bound by chains, and all they could see in the cave were shadows. But one of them was able to break free and walk out into the out of the cave and into the sunlight and see the real world. And Gary Gustav was really comparing the negative emotions that we experience sometimes would be the chains that bind us, such as being angry or impatient or vengeful or feeling rejected or jealous, having remorse, guilt, resentment, feelings of inadequacy. These are chains that keep us from really experiencing the real world, from experiencing a life of joy and happiness. It cuts us off. They bind us. I think in terms of the Christian experience and the Bible, when they talk about Satan, Satan is the negative emotions. Satan represents the negative emotions in mind. Remember, it says that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Can you see the correlation between being filled with anger and resentment, how it kills and steals and destroys? It robs you of your joy. So it's not this entity outside of yourself. It's what's within you that takes away from your experience, your ability to experience the whole, you know, to experience your joy and the whole experience of being alive. So let's just touch upon some of the things that he says. Imagine becoming angry, impatient, vengeful, rejected, or jealous, not once, but again and again. Everyone has painful experiences that repeat without end, such as remorse and guilt and resentment, overwhelm and feelings of inadequacy, to name a few. Each time one occurs, you think you can stop it by changing the person or circumstances that caused it. For example, you divorce the spouse that you think causes your anger, or you leave the job that you think causes your anger, or you move out of the neighborhood or the country or a family that you think causes your anger. But no matter how many times you change something or someone that you think causes your anger returns or doesn't leave, and you are imprisoned in anger. But where are your chains? You live in a painful world. Your friends are angry. Your colleagues are angry. You are angry. But you cannot leave. So what is he saying here? That you're trapped. Dr. Reggie, your line that I love is, no matter where you are, there you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can run, you can move, you can change jobs, but your consciousness, that anger that is within you, it travels with you. It's not going to go anywhere until you choose to deal with it. You just tuck it up under your arms and it's right with you. And how many of you have said, I'm going to leave this job and I'm going to go someplace else and work, and then you get another job and it winds up being the same experience that you just had off your last job? Because the bottom line, and here's where Gary Zukav is going with this, the bottom line is that you are creating your experience. And we have been brought up not to look at ourselves, but to look at our outside circumstances and experiences as five-sensory humans. And so then we begin to blame others for what's going on with us. Imagine that every time someone offers you sex, you cannot refuse. No matter how destructive the consequences might be, you could become infected with AIDS, or you could infect someone you love with AIDS, or destroy your marriage. But those things do not matter to you in the moment. You are chained, meaning you are bound to the need for sex. Imagine that every time you see ice cream or a colleague offers dessert or you join friends who are snacking, you eat and you feel powerless to stop. Or that every time someone offers you a drink, a drug, or a cigarette, you cannot resist. Some people live their lives in regret, jealousy, inferiority, superiority, anger, fear, resentment. Even when they want to change, there are so many prisons as there are painful emotions and obsessions and compulsions and addictions. But the five senses cannot detect your chains. Your multisensory perception operates independently of the five senses. A five-sensory exploration of anger, for example, can track hormone levels and respiratory and circulatory rates and a variety of physiological correlates to anger. But it cannot locate the chains. An intellectual inquiry connects the past and current experiences of anger. It catalogs the similarities and the differences and the thoughts that precede and follow them, but it cannot locate the chains. Multisensory perception makes your chains visible, but in a surprising way. And this is what we touched on last week. You can feel them. And so I remember asking Karen when she said she was moving into a business deal and, you know, they were presenting an opportunity to her, but somehow she felt, this isn't right. I don't feel comfortable with this. And I asked her, I said, what was the feeling? What did it feel like? Talk about it a little bit more. She said she just did not feel comfortable. It was uneasy. If she had gone into that contract with that uneasy feeling, she would have attracted circumstances to her because of her uneasiness. You see how that works? That would not have benefited her. And we tend to ignore those little tugs at us that we have. I clearly remember when I was dating that I would get signals very early on in the relationship, no, this is not the right thing for me. But you just continue to pursue it, and then it turns really ugly. I chose to ignore those warnings. I used to call it my uh-oh feeling. Uh-oh. That's your multisensory perception. That's your intuition. That's source energy, God energy communicating with you, protecting you, because that source energy, that God energy, only wants the best for you. And as we have learned, when we rely only on our five senses and our logical mind, we wind up oftentimes in experiences that are painful and destructive. Built into your choices are the consequences of your choices. He goes on to say that your chains do not reveal themselves by touch of a metal on flesh, but by physical sensations in certain areas of your body that appear under certain conditions. Multisensory perception allows you to become a detective, always looking for information about your chains. Eventually, you will assemble a picture of them. For example, you may feel a sharp pain and a tightening in your chest, or a pressure on your forehead, and a dull burning in your stomach. And I know a couple of times I've shared with you, when I'm getting ready to spend money and it's uncomfortable for me, I get this little stinging sensation underneath my arms. It stings, and I perspire. I love it. I begin to glow, you know. Very fine beads of sweat. That is my clue that I should not spend this money at this time. It's a warning. And when I choose to ignore that warning, I wind up in trouble. Now I pay attention to it. Sometimes I'm in conversation with people. You know, for instance, I'm trying to bring guests onto the show, and I want to make sure that they resonate with what we're teaching. If I hang up the phone and I have a headache, or if I have a stomach ache, you know, I get nauseous. Some people I talk to, I'm nauseous when I hang up the phone. I know that that's not the right fit. I want you to pay attention to the sensations that you are having in your body, because it's telling you, it's communicating with you. Your intuitive self, your multisensory self is letting you know, uh-oh. How many of you have had any of those physical experiences? I would love to hear from you. Just press 1 on your telephone keypad, because I want us to talk about this and share this. He says that different circumstances create different sensations. And because your circumstances are always changing, well, the sensations in your body are always changing. So imagine that you see a dear friend from your childhood in a cafe. What happens? Your heart opens and you begin to smile and you walk toward her. You're eager to connect or to reconnect. And if you're paying attention to the sensations in your body, you feel this wonderful sensation. Your chest and your throat and your solar plexus. Your solar plexus is down near your navel and your mid trunk. They feel relaxed and warm and open. Now, look at the other end of the spectrum. Imagine that when you return home, you find a letter from the audit division of the Internal Revenue Service. And if you are paying attention to your sensations, you would notice how different they are from the sensations that you experienced when you saw your friend. Because the IRS letter and the encounter with your friend are both surprises, but the sensations they produce in you are quite different. It's easy to distinguish between a painful and a pleasant sensation if you know how to monitor your interior landscape and that you recognize your chains, because they hurt. They're painful. At first, painful sensations appear to be caused by circumstances, for example, receiving a notice for the audit. But after a while, you will make a very important discovery, one of the most important in your life. Your painful sensations recur, but the apparent causes of them frequently change. The same painful sensations that tormented you in your former marriage or your job or city repeat wherever you are, whomever you are with. Each time they do, you react in the same way that you did the last time. You become angry or jealous or frightened or vengeful or overwhelmed. If you habitually shout when you become angry, you will shout again. If you habitually withdraw, you will withdraw again, and so on. In other words, your behavior is predictable. You do again and again and again the same thing that you did the last time you became angry or jealous or vengeful or frightened or whatever. And therefore, you are in a prison. Now, as I was going through this, what came to remembrance is our lessons from oneness that says as long as we are in a denser vibration, we will continue to attract the same experiences to us over and over again. Same lesson, same truth. And oneness says, well, you have to shift your energy. You have to move to a slightly higher dimension in thought to change the energy so you are no longer dealing with that experience, that you change what you're experiencing and how you're experiencing it. People and circumstances trigger your anger, jealousy, and fear, but changing those experiences requires turning your attention toward what has been triggered and away from what triggered it. Let me repeat that. Changing those experiences requires turning your attention toward what has been triggered, meaning the painful experiences of your chains, and away from what triggered it, which are the shadows. Looking inward when you become upset, feeling the sensations in your body instead of looking outward, which is attempting to change people or circumstances. You need to do the work inside. Oneness says you need to shift your energy, which means shift your consciousness so that you can have a different experience. Gary Zukav says you want to explore what has been activated inside of you. Until you change that, you will not change. You will continue to shout. You will continue to weep. You will continue to withdraw as well as demand apologies and feel rejected and feel superior, feel inferior, and engage in all of the destructive behaviors that you have perfected. Once you become familiar with your chains, you will know exactly what you need to change. But it requires you taking the time to say, this is what I'm feeling. This is what activated the feeling. And now I need to change how I'm feeling. I need to be in control. I used to have huge, huge anger issues, and I would just explode. And Dr. Reggie would say, you know, you are responsible for your feelings. You are responsible for your emotions, and you are in control of your emotions. And you need to exercise emotional intelligence. And that would just make me even more angry. Because that put all the work on me. So if what I'm saying to you is making you angry right now, good. Because that is the beginning of your healing. This is your life. You create it. You make it what you want it to be. And you have the power, the authentic power, to change it at any moment. Not next year, not someday, not when your ship comes in, but at any moment, right now. Right now, in this moment, you can change. He goes on to say, strange as it sounds, prisons such as anger and jealousy are often attractive in the moment. He says, when I gave my first workshop in San Quentin, one of the corrections officers, a bitter middle-aged woman, said disdainfully, nodding her head toward a group of inmates, all they want is two hots and a cot. By her assessment, they could not survive on the outside, and returning to prison was a refuge for them that she resented providing. The inmates I met were genuinely terrified by San Quentin. Yes, statistically, many of them would indeed return. The reasons were many. Gravitational pull of old habits. Society's distrust of ex-cons. The inability to find a job. That's rejection. But return they did to the familiar and structured, although terrifying, an environment of San Quentin. So it is less painful to become angry or jealous or vengeful or overwhelmed than it is to feel the sensations in your body when you hate yourself. Or when you see yourself as incurably defective or unlovable or unable to love and forever excluded from life, love, and humanity. In other words, it is less painful in the moment to become angry and jealous or vengeful or to feel inferior and to or the need to please or to feel superior and entitled or to overeat or drink or to gamble than it is to experience the pain of powerlessness, immersing yourself in your anger or in your jealousy or in your vengefulness is a refuge from this core experience. And acting in anger and jealousy or vengefulness takes you even further from it. You flee from the pain of powerlessness into a prison that shelters you from it momentarily, and then into uncontrollable actions that imprison you even more firmly. In other words, he's saying you don't have the courage to face your illusion of having no power. You don't want to accept the responsibility that you are experiencing. I'm putting it in different words here. It's easier for you to just go along and be angry. It's easier for you to just go along and continue to be jealous. It's easier for you to continue to pass judgment on those who have less than you. Because then you don't have to take responsibility. There's no work. But he's saying it's actually painful for you to look at the truth. Experiencing the pain of powerlessness directly, the painful sensations in your body that lie beneath your destructive episodes of anger and vengefulness and righteousness and callousness, it goes directly to the source of those experiences. When you have the courage and the skill to experience directly the core pain that you have been running from all of your life, that has generated every destructive consequence that you have created for yourself, there is no more boogeyman left to frighten you. Then your life becomes a matter of the choices that you will make with your new awareness. If you were no longer controlled by the need to flee from the excruciating pain of self-disgust and self-loathing and despair that have tormented you from birth, what would you choose? And this is the question that you were born to ask and to answer. It is the ongoing holy inquiry that will fill your life as you begin to find your way out of the cave and into the sunlight. Breaking your chains requires breaking old habits, abandoning old judgments about yourself and others and experimenting with the different intentions and behaviors. It requires looking at your anger, looking at your fear, your jealousy, your rage, and so on, as dynamics that become activated in you under certain circumstances, but you can change that. And instead of assuming that you are intrinsically just designed to be angry or jealous, that will always remain that way. It requires the courage to experience all that you are feeling moment by moment. You do not need to be imprisoned in anger or in any other difficult emotion when certain circumstances occur. You can break those chains and you can leave your prison. Plato's hero did that. He left the cave, the fire, and the shadows behind. Each time you respond, meaning and equaling, each time you choose, you are consciously choosing instead of reacting. In other words, instead of shouting or weeping or withdrawing or eating or gambling, while you are experiencing a painful sensation in your body, that chain weakens. When you choose again to respond instead of react, to create constructively instead of destructively, to choose consequences you are willing to assume responsibility for bringing into your life, and to create health and joy instead of pain and dysfunction, it weakens those chains even further. And eventually it will break. Sooner or later, you will break all of your chains this way. Why? How? But choice by choice, moment by moment. And that's how you escape from the cave. Man, I'm telling you, oneness is just going all through my head at this point. Because oneness says you make choices, right? And you have intentions, and that you are attracting drama. They call it your life drama. You are attracting these experiences to you. And they said you will continue to repeat those experiences over and over again until you shift. And they tell you that you have to experience the whole spectrum. Because, listen, there are different levels of anger, right? We know sometimes there's real explosive anger. And then there are times when the anger is, you know, it's just a little irritation or frustration. It's still anger. So you have to experience the full spectrum. And then it's so diminished that it doesn't even come up on your radar. In other words, no matter what's going on, the circumstances that are going on, you have practiced releasing yourself from anger so much that it doesn't even trigger it. It doesn't even come up on your radar screen. We have a couple of minutes this morning. Does anyone have any comments or questions? Please press 1. I haven't checked my chat room this morning. Please press 1 on your telephone keypad. I love to hear from you this morning. Just say hi to me. Good morning, 2968. You're on the air.
Good morning, Cynthia. Good morning, Dr. Reggie. How are you?
Good morning.
Listen, I'm calling because I wanted to find out. I have sensations in my knees. And when I had them before, when I was in relationship, it was always an indication we were going to have an argument. Mm-hmm. Or it was going to be kind of conflict. And I'm just wondering, this is from years ago, and I'm just wondering if, you know, that's, I mean, what's the significance of it?
Knees represent the foundation of something to stand on, something that bridges everything else. That's how to keep the upper part of you standing, straight up, erected. So the energy of knees feeling bad or weakening means something is wrong in some foundation. And apparently, in your case, it represented the relationship you were in. It means it's not a good one. It's going to be shaky from the beginning. Learn to listen to the body signals that come from the universe. And I'm glad you do. You're listening to those. Very important. It may be other signals, too. So everything has a signal. And the body responds to everything that goes on in the mind. If the mind says, no, this is not right, and since we're all in the mind of God anyway, you'll get a signal in the body. That's why you have this body, to produce those signals and to pay close attention to your feeling nature. As we say, your feeling nature is your Geiger counter. So I'm glad that you are very paying attention to them, very glad. And you'll know what action to take.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love the knees. I love. Good morning. 0411. Anthony, 0411. You're on the
air. I'm on the air. Good not to hear you. Sound like you're fading in and out. How y'all doing?
I'm fine. I have Dr. Reggie's mic on. Is that better?
Yes, it is. Thanks.
Okay. I'm going to turn. Yes. On. What's your question? I'll turn his mic on.
What does the back represent?
The back. Okay.
The lower back.
Making a decision. Lower back represents making a decision. If you can't make a decision, your lower back will always bother you. And also about a major thing, event in life, the lower back. The upper back means I'm not going to be responsible. But the lower back means I can't make the decision. Which way do I go? Which way do I turn? And as soon as you make the decision and you feel it's the right one, the back will ease from all the tension and the pain in the lower back. It's always good to lay on the floor for just 30 minutes and get up later on to stretch the back out. But a lot of times the synovial fluid and the things that are in the back bother you because they're not strengthened. And decision-making is a very powerful aspect of that energy in the back. It really is.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. These are excellent. What about pain in the feet, doctor?
Pain in the where?
Feet.
About decisions, about travel, about am I making the right movement? Movement to travel forward. Maybe I should make this decision to go forward. Maybe I need to go step back a little bit. If there's trouble in walking, it's arches or ankles, they all talk about movement, how I'm going to stay structured, how I'm going to move through life. And if that's not the right decision, I'll stop. Then as soon as you do and you make the decision you feel is right, all that pain will subside.
That's amazing. Well,
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful lesson today and that the Holy Spirit is directing these lessons. We learn to pay attention to body signals. You gave us a body to have these vibrations and signals from you and from your kingdom. Let us learn to follow them and to respect what they represent and to make concrete positive decisions in the direction of our lives to honor you and follow you. Let us always know that we are always being nudged and given direction in which way to go, either in dreams or in visions or in feelings. Let us take these dreams and visions and feelings to improve the quality of our lives and that of others to help them. Let us learn to listen with a different multi-sensory hearing. Let us learn to move with a different kind of moving, and paying attention to the wind and the direction in which we're moving. Let our feet guide us in a proper way, and our bodies move in direction of a kingdom within. Let us always be available to listen and to hear the truth about ourselves and our experience. We believe this is so, and so it is.